How many of you brought your cell phone this morning? How many of you still have it on? What for? You expecting a phone call? No, that's your time in the sermon. No, listen, I got to thinking. By the way, I did a little extra research over the weekend on this particular subject, and guess where I did the research? On social media. It is, listen, this is a very interesting topic. By the way, do y'all have a high school class? They're in here? Y'all's high school are a little older than ours in San Angelo. Okay. No, sorry. I was just wondering if we had other classes that were going to, the upper classes that were going to be in here, depending upon how we're going to talk about some of this stuff. But I will tell you, you might think that, well, this really doesn't apply to this age group. I know this is going out on CDs and DVDs and things such as that, and you might think that this topic really doesn't apply to you. The largest group of recent adherence to social media is 45 to 60. 45 to 60. By the way, that hits me. That's right in my age group. And so I know that some of the things that we're going to be talking about today either apply to you, or I guarantee you they apply to your children and your grandchildren, and they will apply to generations in the future. But before we really get into all of that, I want to express my appreciation to Brother and Sister Jones for their kind hospitality last night and this morning, and appreciate so much their allowing us into their home and treating us like family. We appreciate that very much. Now, did you know that Twitter, by the way, I still don't know what Twitter is. I'm doing the research for this social media, and there are terms, Tom, I just don't understand. Now, I know technically that there's a little bird that is on all kinds of social media, and if you have a Twitter account, then you can make certain snippet comments, not snide, snippet, just short comments. But if I told you that there were 255 million active users currently sending out 550 million tweets each and every day, do you think maybe you could wrap your mind around that? 255 million tweeters tweeting over 550 million times each and every day. What if I told you that there were more than 50 million Facebook pages, that 20 billion photos had been uploaded to Instagram? Could you wrap your mind? I don't know that I can fully wrap my mind around the usage of social media that we have today. How many of you have ever seen individuals sitting in a restaurant? Maybe there's four or five of them, and at least half, if not more, are either using their thumb on the phone, or they're talking on the phone while they are at a conversation with somebody else. Have you ever interrupted a conversation with somebody to answer your phone or to deliver a text to somebody else? As if I'm always thinking, well, that person's got to be more important than me when that occurs. I mean, our society is wrapped up with reference to this social media. And all of these things are not necessarily evil in and of themselves. But what God has granted us with gifts can either be used appropriately or they can be misused. And you can see the evidence of some of the uses of social media even here. I mean, oftentimes these lectureship that Ryan will go to, sometimes they are streamed live out on the internet. And there are opportunities that people have. The radio that he does on the Gospel Radio Network, I mean, it goes out live, and some of the programs on there, Tom and David's is a live call-in. Is that not social media? It is a media in which people socialize, or it's designed for them to socialize. I do a daily radio program, and it is a live call-in program. It is a social media in that sense. And so there are uses, and then there are abuses of all of the gifts that we have been given. But let me just maybe put into perspective how serious the misuse of this can be. There are five things. There are really six. The sixth thing I did not consider maybe something that would be considered here, but there are five things that are easier to resist for people today than social media. Okay? Five things. I want you to pay attention to these five things. It is easier, it is said by people, it is easier for them to resist alcohol than it is to resist social media. It is easier for them to resist tobacco than it is for them to resist social media. It is easier for them to resist sex or sensual appetites than it is for them to resist social media. It is easier for them to resist, boy, this one hit me real hard, caffeine, than it is for them to resist social media. Number five really blew my mind as far as our society today. You've already heard a lesson on pornography. But it is said to be easier to resist pornography in today's society than to resist social media. By the way, let me throw this out at you. Up until recently, and I have the stats on another lesson that I have here, but up until recently, it was easier to get a pornographic website than any other website in the world. That it was the number one best seller on the internet. But now, social media has overtaken porn as the number one activity on the web. By the way, I have mixed feelings about that. Would I rather my child or my grandchildren, would I rather them be involved in social media or pornography? Well, I'm going to choose social media. But I wanted you to be able to see the power and the influence that social media has on our society today. If you took those five things, and I realize that some of these things are not sinful in and of themselves, they're only sinful in how they're utilized. But if you took those are five top things that generally people can become addicted to, and social media has a greater, stronger grasp upon the hearts and minds of people today than any one of those particular items. To me, that was simply amazing. And I think one of the reasons why is because we have swallowed a myth. You know, there are a lot of myths that are out there in the world. And I suppose that the more that we are socially interactive with one another, the more these myths are going to grow. But it is so prevalent out there that there is even a show that is dedicated to busting myths, right? Mythbusters. But in reality, the Bible is the best myth buster at all. And of course, there are several myths that would be in association with social media. One of those would be in relationship to pornography. That pornography is a harmless adult pleasure. By the way, if you think that it is harmless, either on those participating in producing it or in those who are receiving it, then you don't know much about pornography. But that was somebody else's lesson. But it does tie into social media. But another myth is that there is no harm in social media at all. And that there should be no restrictions upon it at all in our homes and in our hearts. And in fact, it is and can be a very dangerous tool. I have several tools in my home. I have a gun. Actually, I have several. All guns, I tell my children, are loaded. You never point a gun at somebody. It's a dangerous tool. A child should never, never have access to that particular tool. It is dangerous. I don't give the sharp knives in my wife's kitchen to my 2-year-old grandchildren either. They are tools, and they are great tools. If I'm having to chop up her vegetables, I really need a sharp knife. And she has a dozen or so different kinds of knives. They're good tools to have in your kitchen, but they are dangerous tools. They need to be kept in a place where children cannot get a hold of them. Well, I have a lot of tools like that. And they're dangerous tools. Social media is a tool for us to utilize. But might I add that there are other tools that are out there that are just as dangerous as these? How about the tool of the tongue? Does not James warn us in James chapter 3 about the tongue and how dangerous? This is a tool that God has created, and he molded and fashioned man so that he might have this tongue, so that he might have the power of communication. And yet this tongue is a dangerous tool that needs to be kept very well, or it will do damage to you as well as to somebody else. How many times have you heard someone say, maybe it's on the television as you're watching a horrendous scene unfold, and the news camera is there, a child has been shot by another child. And you will hear this phrase, "I thought the gun was unloaded." I had a friend of mine. He was a member of the church in Rawlins, Wyoming. He was sergeant of the highway patrol in the state of Wyoming. And a friend of his was sitting in his living room, also a highway patrolman for many years, accidentally shot himself cleaning his gun because he thought it was unloaded. See, sometimes we can become so familiar with tools such as these that we forget how dangerous they can be. So at the very first, one of the things that I wanted to do would be to try to impress upon you the seriousness of the topic that we are dealing with. And then I would like for us to examine what the Scriptures say in regards to social media. Now you might be saying, well, wait a minute, how could the Bible say anything about social media? I mean, social media didn't come about until about 10, 15 years ago. Maybe a little bit earlier than that, but in reality it hasn't boomed except over the last few years. How could the Bible have anything to say about social media? You know, if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 in your Bible, you will find that this Bible is inspired of God. Now, that in and of itself should tell us some things. But you know, I've read that passage for years, and generally I focused on the first half of that verse. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And when I referred to 2 Timothy 3:16, I always tried to focus upon the fact that the Bible is inspired. And so without taking anything away from that, the verse also continues with an and. Not only is the Bible inspired of God, but it says that the Bible is, Scripture is profitable for us. It is profitable for doctrine, that is to teach us how to live. It is profitable for us in reproof, that is when we get off of living the doctrine of Christ, it will slap our hands. It will tell us that we have gone off. And it is profitable for correction. That is, it doesn't just correct, it doesn't just reprove us and leave us out there. It shows us how to get back home. So it's profitable for correction. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. Now that I'm back, how am I going to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? This book is designed as a universal book, and it is designed as a book for all of the ages. There is not, because of inspiration, there is not a single item that could ever come up in man's life that this book has not already, at least in principle and example, already addressed for us. It is profitable for that, you see. And then he goes on to say in verse number 17 that the man of God, you listen to this book, you adhere your life to this book, you do what it says, you think the way it tells you to think, you speak the way it tells you to speak, you act the way it tells you to act, this book will make you perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. There's not a single good thing, not a single good deed or good work that you could ever be engaged in that is not found in this book. It is that profitable for us, even yet today. And in fact, I wish that we would spend a little bit more time showing people how profitable this book really is. But in reality, is that not what this weekend has been about? This book addresses the major moral issues of man today, whether or not in the church or in our nation or in our world. This book addresses those items. And so I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And I want us to spend a little bit of time here in this text noticing what the Bible has to say concerning social media today. Number one, one of the myths that we find that is out there in relationship to social media. This really does apply real strongly to our concept of social media. And that is that the world is very important. The world is extremely important. Have you ever known anybody that has tried? I'm not just talking about a cell phone when I put this up. I'm just talking about social media. Have you ever tried to talk to people about getting off of this for about maybe a day? Don't check your Facebook account. I had a lady, she was a lawyer and homeschooled her children in Lindsay, Oklahoma. And she put on Facebook the other day, well, early in the summer, she put in Facebook, she said, "My children are going to go without any type of social media all summer long." And then her oldest boy said, "But Mom, why do you get to?" And so she wrote on Facebook to say bye throughout the summer to all of her friends on Facebook because she would not be responding. Now that was for 3 months. There are some people, by the way, you realize that that most people check their Facebook account more than 5 times a day? Some of you are saying, I don't even have a Facebook account. But there are people who are, they've got to know what's being said on Facebook. They got to know what their friends are saying. They've got to know what's going on in the world. And so they are so tied to this social media that they're constantly checking in on this media. And they are tied to it. They can't let go. It can be a dangerous thing. That's the addictive nature of things such as what we're talking about. But one of the reasons why is because to some extent we believe in our minds, at least might be in the back of our minds, but we certainly believe this, that if I did not check my Facebook account today, the world would explode. If I didn't know what was going on with my Twitter account, or I didn't know what was going on with all of the social media aspects of things, then something would, I mean, listen, there would be another Ebola case that would come up that I would not know about, and somebody would say something, I would say, well, I didn't know about it because I haven't checked my social media yet. And so there are individuals that are so attached to these things. And like I said, the highest rating number is right there in between 45 and 60 as far as those that are growing into such things as Facebook. But we believe that this world is so important to us that we could not step out of the world. I mean, we go on vacation and what do we have? We have our cell phones. We have our internet. By the way, is that not the first thing you check into with reference to a motel? Do you have internet connectivity? You know, we're on vacation, but we're still tying ourselves to the world as if this world and everything that surrounds me is so important that if I did not have access to it for even a short amount of time, that something drastic would happen. And so we really do believe that this world is very, very important. And so I want you to notice what John says here. Evidently, some of our first century brethren had this problem, and they didn't even have Instagram yet. Notice he says, love not, by the way, this word love is agape. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. By the way, I find this interesting that there seems to be two categories that are listed here. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I don't think he's describing the things that are in the world in the second category that fits in the first category. I think it's a separate category altogether. I think that sometimes people love, I even had knew of a member of the church in Tuttle, Oklahoma, that she didn't like to sing those songs about going to heaven. And, you know, dying was much better and heaven was so much better than living. She said, no, I love this earth too much. I wonder if we kind of have that mentality today. If we was to look into the mindset of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, he would say to us that it would be much better for him to die and be with Christ than to stay here. Now just ask yourself this question. Do I have that same mentality? Do I think that it would be better for me that if I was to die to be with Christ is far better than to live in this world? Oh no, I got children. I got grandchildren. I want to see my grandchildren play football. My oldest is just starting football, and so I want to see them play football. I want to see them play basketball. I want to see them grow up and graduate, and I want to see my great-grandchildren. There's things that tie me to this world, And by the way, social media is one of those things to where we're tied into this world. By the way, isn't it great you can chat instantaneously? I can tango with my grandchildren every night if I want to. That's not a dance, by the way, that's an app. I can actually see them and talk to them live on my phone. Social media, right? But am I more tied to my grandchildren? Now listen, some of you, you need to hear this message. Some of you are more tied to your grandchildren than you are to the Lord's church. Some of you are more tied to your grandchildren than you are to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If your grandchildren call you and say they need something, you got it done. If the church calls and needs something, you're like, well, I'm pretty busy. I don't know that I have time. I know that one, listen, I love my grandchildren. But I have told my children, and my wife and I understand this basic principle, that my wife is not the first love of my life. She never will be. That's reserved for the God of heaven alone. He is the first love and always will be of my life. She comes second in our home. But here's what I told my children. Guess what that means for you? You come third. My wife will always be second in my heart. My children will all, by the way, my wife was there before my children. And by the way, she's there after my children too. As far as the physical life, she is that first love. She is that love in that sense. But nothing else will compare with her. My children and then my grandchildren come beyond that. You see, there has to be a priority of love, and if we don't understand how to prioritize our love, then this world will be way too important for us. You know why? John mentions this in the book of John. How can I say that I love God whom I have not seen, and yet I hate my brother in whom I have seen? John recognizes that we have to be real careful with our priority of love. If God does not come first, then it's easy for God not just to take a second seat, but to take a third, fourth, fifth, and way back there, because we can't see God and we can see everything else. I can put my hands on, I can put my thumbs on, I can put my sight on all of these things, but I can only see the effects of what God has done for us. You see, the generation that is raising this generation and the generation before it had the same problems that this generation does. It's just that this generation is showing it in different ways through social media. But it's the same problem. It's a priority of love. We think that this world is far too important for us. Do you realize? I was born in Wynnewood, Oklahoma. Now, y'all may not ever even know where that is. I'm surprised, by the way, but you may not know where that is. Wynnewood, Oklahoma. I got a book several years ago that a member of the church out in Wellington, Texas gave me. And it was from Wellington, Oklahoma. Did I say Texas? Oklahoma, born and bred. But that's one point, by the way. But one point is still a loss. But I want you to think about this. I got that book. It was all about the history, all about the people of Wynnewood from the time of its inception as a town to the time that it was written. And so I thought, great, I'm going to find some Pope Joys. I'm going to find some Coslows. I'm going to find some people that are my family. I'm going to find them in this book. I'm somebody important. Somebody wrote about me in a book. Not one single reference Not even in the sheriff's report was there a Popejoy mentioned. By the way, that was a mishap, by the way. I know the Popejoy's in that area. But this goes over the internet. I better be careful. My name, outside of probably something like this, will not be recorded. When they record the annals of the state of Texas, they're not going to put my name in there. And more than likely, they're not going to put your name in there either. Now, you may be more important than I am. I don't know. But see, we've got such a tie to this world that we really do think that this world is the most important thing in our lives. And so John says, love not the world. Now, some of social media would fall into that category. It's not wrong in and of itself. But if I am ignoring my responsibilities as a husband or as a father or grandfather because of social media, then I've got a serious problem with it. If I'm engaging in sinful activity on social media, such as pornography, then I've got a serious problem. There's a dual problem there. And so it is important then that we understand, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Well, what's in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, right? What do those things really amount to? All of these things. I'm not to love after these things. Well, the lust of the flesh simply is whatever feels good, whatever is sensual. Then it feels good, do it, right? The lust of the eyes, whatever looks good, whatever is appealing to me. Is that not where pornography has its asset in social media? Is in the lure of the eye? Did not David have a problem with that in regards to Bathsheba? It was the lust of the eyes. By the way, that's been one of the problems since the beginning of time. Eve saw the fruit. She saw that it was good. There was the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, that it was good to eat, that it was good to the taste. It was sensual and appealing to her. And it would make her greater than what she actually was. Her pride got involved in this. And so there's the pride of life that is wrapped up in the world. I think that a lot of social media is really all about this ideal of the pride of life. You realize I am somebody when I'm out there. My name is known. I have a Twitter account, and I put it out there. How many times have you checked to see how many followers you have? See, if you go on a Facebook account, and one of the first things you do is check to see how many friends you have as opposed to how many friends other people have, it may be a pride issue with you. It may be that I have to be important. Whatever makes me look good, you see, that arrogance and that trusting in self is certainly a part of the problem. And so one of the myths that certainly is here is that people get the feeling that this world is way too important. And in reality, it's not that important. Do you realize that this world is simply a testing ground for the next? And if I don't test properly, then it is a dangerous place to live in eternity with the devil and his angels. See, this world is designed for our benefit, that all things might make us strong and our character bold, so that we might live for God and with God in eternity. That's what this world is all about. It's not about, and by the way, I am not the center of the universe. And I think that plays a part in some of this as well. But let me also, and I know our time is short, but I do believe that this is another area that we do have a problem with today. We just don't consider temptation to be very harmless. We want to see how close I can get. Let me just show you how this plays out among church-going people. Okay? Tom's probably had this question. The elders probably had this question before. Is it really a sin? Will I really go to hell? I mean, are you telling me that I have to be at Wednesday night Bible study? Are you telling me that I have to be at Sunday morning Bible study? Are you telling me that it is important or necessary for me to be at two services on Sunday? Now, some of you may be saying, well, I don't see the problem in that. The problem is not whether or not you are here. The problem is in just the asking of the question. What can I do as a minimum requirement to get into heaven? How far can I go and not step off the edge into an eternal burning hell? That's what we're really asking oftentimes. Give me the bare minimums. What do I have to do? What will you take for that car? Give me your bottom dollar. Don't we try to negotiate with God? Listen, when Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together, he was not saying, come now, let us negotiate with God and see what the least we can do for him and still go to heaven. See, we play around with temptation like that. It's really not that bad. It's really not that damaging. Pornography, not really that bad. Social media can't be as bad as some people make it out to be. Yet I've already demonstrated that our society, from the very beginning, our society is so intertwined in this. Just try it. If you're a user of social media, you can tell whether or not you're addicted to it or not. Give it up for a week. Do you know that there were societies around before ours that did not have a cell phone on their hip at all times? And grandfathers still knew what their grandchildren were doing? They were still able to keep in contact with the world without a cell phone attack. Try sometime to go without something. And if you're miserable and irritable and you can't get along socially with people, you got a problem with social media. Thank you.